everyone, and welcome to another episode of Building Voices, a CMS podcast looking at key themes in construction, court decisions, and talking to those in the know about the industry. My name is Anne Thompson, and I'm a senior associate at CMS in the Infrastructure, Construction, and Energy Disputes team based in the Sheffield office. Today, we're going to consider termination provisions in relation to repeated breaches. Obviously, if you have a project as an employer where a subcontractor or contractor repeatedly breaches their obligations, this can lead to project delay or have an impact on other subcontractors. An employer then may look to its termination provisions. Of course, termination is generally seen as the nuclear option, as it can have big consequences for the employer and also have knock-on effects on the project. This leads me to our guest today, Tim Atwood, another senior associate at CMS, but in the construction and engineering team in our London office. Tim specialises in transactional construction work, advising developer and contractor clients on a wide range of projects. Tim has joined me today to speak about the recent case, Providence Building Services Limited and Hexagon Housing Association Limited, which looked at these issues. So Tim, could you let us know what this case was about?
Yes, thanks Anne. The case concerned a termination for non-payment dispute between Hexagon as employer and Providence as contractor. Hexagon appointed Providence as its contractor to construct a number of buildings in Purley. The parties contracted on a JCT design and build contract, which, as you know, is a very popular form for domestic works in the UK. It had some amendments, as is commonplace, but importantly, the provisions that give the contractor rights to terminate were not amended from the native form, save for the length of some of the notice and cure periods. The provisions allow a contractor to give a notice of specified default, including for non-payment, and if it's not cured, to then give a termination notice. Furthermore, they provide immediate rights to terminate for repeated specified defaults. After a second failure by Hexagon to pay amounts due to Providence on time, Providence tried to exercise its right to terminate for a repeated specified default. Now, it's key here that when Hexagon failed to pay on time a first time, Providence issued a specified default notice, but Hexagon cured that non-payment within the time allowed to it by the contract. When Hexagon failed to pay on time a second time, Providence served a termination notice straight away, relying on clause 8.9.4 that says that where Providence did not serve a termination notice for any reason in respect of a specified default, then where Hexagon repeats that default, Providence can terminate.
And just to let our listeners know that Tim has done an excellent Law Now on this, and the link to that and to the case will all be included on the Building Voices page, so you can look at that at your leisure later on. So Tim, what did the court decide in this case?
The court found that Providence did not have a right to terminate under 8.9.4. The reason being that even though Hexagon hadn't paid on time the first time and was therefore in default, Hexagon then managed to make payment within its contractual cure period to remedy the specified default. Because of that, Providence didn't accrue a right to serve a termination notice under clause 8.9.3 in respect of that first default. It found that even though clause 8.9.4 gives a party a right to terminate for a repeated specified default if it did not previously serve a termination notice for any reason, the words "for any reason" didn't go as far as Providence argued that they would. In other words, that any reason could include the fact that its right to serve the termination notice had not actually been triggered. And the right to serve the termination notice must have arisen the first time. In other words, the breach must not have been cured in the period in order for Providence to have decided not to serve it.
There's quite a lot to unpack here, even though the judgment was actually quite short, only 6 pages. Probably a few points for you as a drafter, Tim, and then a bit for me as a disputes lawyer.
Yes, well, it merits a look into what employers or contractors do if the other party is repeatedly in breach of their obligations. With your litigation hat on, what sort of things would you be advising to clients?
That's a great question. So there's obviously a lot of different levers you can pull when you're in disputes. The big one is termination. And if thinking as an employer, you may think, well, I'm within my rights to do that. But what you need to think is this just cutting off your nose to spite your own face? Are you going to be able to get another contractor or subcontractor in to finish the works? And is it going to impact on the rest of your supply chain? There's also the option as a contractor of suspending your works. Again, quite an onerous step. and there will often be quite a few administrative hoops to jump through. And it can be quite damaging to the employer-contractor relationship. So again, isn't actually an option that is used that often. There's also the possibility of adding interest onto late payments. So if you have an employer who is consistently late in paying, could you include interest on your next application for payment to account for that late payment? Obviously, it will depend on what your contract allows. And then we have the option of adjudication, which is always seen as a form of rough justice. It's obviously a short process, relatively cheap, and it does get the cash moving in the meantime. Now, all of those things are things that you would generally use when you're in dispute and the project is in distress in some way. But is there anything that can be done pre-contracting?
Yes, well, as a drafter, I always say that clear and careful drafting is the answer. In this case, the parties took different views on the interpretation of one particular clause. Ultimately, the judge found that the clause was, quote, clear as a matter of language. But it was apparently ambiguous enough for there to have been two conflicting interpretations in the first place.
The other point that was raised in the judgment in this case was this discussion of a strain between the employer being uncommercial in its approach versus a trigger-happy contractor. Could you just explain what the judge was trying to get at there?
Of course. Hexagon's point was that on Providence's interpretation of the words, the contractor could fire off notices and terminate even for a minor repeated breach. For example, a small payment that was delayed by a day or so. Whereas Providence made the point that by turning that around, an employer could consistently pay late right up to the end of the cure period each time without risk of termination for a repeated specified default. Either situation could be problematic for one of the parties.
Yes, and as a litigator, I have seen this sort of approach from both sides. It really depends on the situation of a company. You know, are there cash flow issues? Does the company have big personalities that like to resort to brinkmanship? And when you're facing that sort of challenge, what the parties really should do is get its key decision makers in a room and work out what the issues are and the best way to work together to resolve them, because otherwise the only real winners are you and me, Tim, the lawyers. The other point we should mention is that this might not be the end of the story. Is that right?
That's right. Providence was successful in its application for a permission to appeal, and the appeal is currently expected to be heard in the summer. So we'll see what happens and let the listeners know if there's any change.
Well, thank you, Tim. We'll be on the lookout for that follow-up. Thank you for coming and speaking to us about this case and looking at things from a drafting point of view.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you join us again for future episodes of the Building Voices podcast. Thank you all for listening.